and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But I like this verse. Read it with me if you have your Bible open. Would you read it aloud? But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Can you lift your hands and worship the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated.
Thank you, Jesus.
No turning back. Paul knew that bonds and afflictions awaited him. That to finish his course was not going to be easy. That it was going to be with great difficulty. That it was going to be with struggle and determination. Then he finished the course that was set before him. But he said, none of those things move me. None of those things dissuade me from completing the things that God has compelled me to do by the Holy Ghost. He said in verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. That Greek word there translated bound means to be compelled. He said, I feel bound, or I feel compelled to go, because the Holy Ghost has compelled me. I have not chosen, amen, the course that I have taken. I have not chosen the calling that God has placed upon me. But God called me, amen, to be a witness as one that was out of due season, that I might witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul was not seeking any glory for himself.
Yes, sir.
Paul was not one that loved adulation and praise. He said, I don't come to you with in passing words of men's wisdom. Amen. He was not someone that would command a lot of respect just to look at him. Because the Bible says that Paul was of small stature. And I can kind of identify, amen, with Paul. I mean, he was kind of a shrimp. There wasn't anything commanding, amen, about his speech. Amen. But there was something about his walk with God. Amen. That whereas there was nothing about his person that anyone should admire him or that they should honor him. Amen. The one thing that they knew when the Apostle Paul, amen, came, that he was not going to try, amen, to impress anybody with pretty words. He was not concerned about what they thought about his preaching. He wasn't trying to win friends or influence people. Everywhere he went, he either caused a revival or a riot. But something was going to happen. Amen. Because Paul, amen, didn't care what the world thought. He didn't care, amen, what his brethren thought about him. The only thing that mattered to him was to do the will of God, to accomplish the purpose to which he had been sent to do. He did not choose to become the apostle of the Gentiles, but God called him. Amen. God said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Because you are a chosen vessel unto me. I am sending you that you might cause them, amen, come to a knowledge of salvation, that they might glorify me, the God of eternity. Hallelujah. And Paul knew that there were many things that awaited him that were not going to be pleasant. Paul knew what persecution was all about, because Paul had persecuted the church of God. Paul had given his consent. He had put his stamp of approval upon the torture and even the murder of those that were of the way, amen, that followed after this Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I stood by and I held the coats of them that stoned Stephen to death. I had letters, amen, to go to Damascus and to bring them bound back to Jerusalem to stand before the council, because I hated, amen, this way. But I said in another place, after the way that you call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. And something happened to the apostle somewhere along the way, and he became a changed individual. The things, amen, that he didn't understand, the things that he fought so vehemently against, he began to champion for the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because, amen, he had an encounter on the road to Damascus. He had an experience, amen, that very few individuals, amen, will ever have. Amen. Because he heard the audible voice of God. Amen. And he said, he cried out, who art you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Right.
I want you to know it's hard when you go against the will of God. It's hard when you resist the Holy Ghost. If God has called you to do a work, you'll never be satisfied, amen, with doing it completely the way God, amen, intended for you to do it. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. With Paul, there was no turning back. There was no reconsideration. Amen. There was no contemplation of ever, amen, disowning his Jesus.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because Paul, amen, had a relationship with God.
Yes.
Amen. I said Paul had developed a relationship with God. Oh, I pray today, amen, that we can develop the kind of relationship with God that we would be totally sold out. That we'd be willing to say yes, Lord, even when we know that to say yes is going to mean to be ridiculed, to be mocked, to be despised, to be hated, even to be misunderstood. That he was willing to say yes for the cause of the kingdom of God. Hello, would you clap your hands and praise the Lord? Early in our history, in the 17th century, many of the American colonists of the Mayflower Compact generation possessed a revolutionary personal faith. That revolutionary faith, amen, caused them, amen, to be sold out for God. To be sold out, amen, for the liberty and freedom which they believed that God had endowed every man. That's why we have men in our history, amen, that said, my only regret is that I only have one life to give. Hallelujah. That's why we have men, amen, that John Paul Jones that said, I have not yet begun the fight. Because there was something that was revolutionary in their thinking.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right.
Men would speak, amen, and they would ignite, amen, passion in their hearers. Men that would say, give me liberty or give me death. Oh, in the church of the living God, amen, I'm not satisfied, amen, with that. That is temporal. I'm not satisfied at that is earthly. I'm not satisfied at that is conventional. But give me a real apostolic move of the Holy Ghost. Give me revival. Oh, let me die. Give me children. Hallelujah. Or let me die. Those colonists believed, amen, in a personal experience with God. In fact, in order to qualify for membership in many of their churches, to have membership and privilege in the church, an individual had to confirm a personal conversion experience. Did you hear what I said? I'm talking about in the 1600s. I'm talking about the Mayflower Compact generation. Amen. Those men and women that risked their lives, amen, and liberty. God forbid that this generation should sell out its values. God forbid that we should turn our back on the Constitution. God forbid that we should turn our back upon life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But we are slowly allowing the world to take our freedoms and our strength and our power, amen, and our faith in the things of God. I don't know about you, amen, but I'm not proud of this generation.
Come on, amen. Yes, sir.
Come on.
But you don't have to have, amen, a 17th century, amen, state of mind, amen, to have an apostolic move of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. They had a move of God in Peter's day.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't too proud of his generation either. He said, save yourself from this untoward generation. It wasn't a generation, amen, that God would have been. It was the generation, amen, that crucified the Son of God. It was a generation that saw miracles and signs and wonders and yet failed to embrace, amen, the one that could save them and liberate them. But I'm convinced that we are a generation, amen, that will not be denied. We're a generation that will not bow down to the world. We'll not bow down to the powers of this world, but we're going to stand for faith and truth and the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul never considered turning back. To be a member of the church, many of the churches in the 1600s in colonial America, just to be a member of the church and to be conferred the privilege of communion, one had to confirm a personal conversion experience. You know what set the Apostle Paul apart? He had had an experience with God. Amen. You know what makes apostolic Christians different from the rest of the Christian world? It's because we have had an experience with God. Amen. We can take you to the place. We can tell you what God did when He saved us and He set us free. Well, I can take you back. Amen. But I don't want to go back there. Amen. I can remind you of what God did in years past, but I don't want to go back. Amen. I can tell you about the miracles of God, but I don't want to go back. I can tell you what God did just a few years ago when a lady got up out of a wheelchair and began to dance and the power of God come upon, but I don't want to go back there, because we're living in a greater day, a greater dispensation than that. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But the second and the third generations which followed cooled in their convictions, having had no such experience. Many of the later colonists in America failed to qualify as well, having been baptized as children by means of sprinkling a little holy water. And so they could not become a confirmed member of the churches of that day. And so history tells us that as a result, they formed what was to be known, and you can look this up in history, they formed a church, a man of their own, because they lacked an experience with God. They could not point back, amen, to a time when God had miraculously changed their life and they'd been slain under the power of the Holy Ghost. They couldn't talk about an experience. And so they couldn't even become a member of the church. We're talking about 17th century America. And so they said that we have got to do something. Amen. For our children and our grandchildren. And so they formed their own church. And they called it the Halfway Covenant Church. Since they were not allowed to vote, and they were not allowed to receive communion in the mother church of that particular day and time, they considered themselves to be halfway into the church. And their idea was, well, it's better to be a half a member than to not be a member at all. But I want you to know, you can't be halfway delivered. You can't be half a Christian. You can't be halfway with God. My Bible says, I would rather that you were hot or you're cold. But if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Hallelujah. There is no halfway house in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Did you hear what I said? There are no halfway houses in the kingdom of God. Amen. But I've been delivered. Hallelujah. When the power of God, amen, delivers you, amen, you're not going to be a halfway anything. You're going to be a complete man, a complete woman. Amen. He makes them whole. He'll make you free. Amen. He that the son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah, you're not going to be partly born. Amen, there's no such thing as partial birth. Amen, I haven't ever met a person that was partially born. I know they've got partial birth abortions, but they put those in cemeteries. Being partially born, amen, is not to be born at all. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, except a man be born again. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no amen halfway house in the kingdom of God. Except you be born of the water and the spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. There are three that bear record in the earth: the blood, the water, and the spirit. And these three agree in one. Amen. You can't have one. Amen. And have everything that you need to be saved. Hallelujah. I believe you got to have the blood of Jesus. How many of you believe in the power of the blood tonight? The Bible says the blood, the water, and you believe that you've got to be buried in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah. Which brings me back to the Apostle Paul. Amen. There was no halfway commitment. Amen. In the Apostle Paul. Amen. There was no hesitation on his part. Amen. When he came to Damascus, amen, he went to the house of Ananias. And Ananias said, Paul, what are you waiting on? Amen. Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized. Hallelujah. Calling on the name of the Lord that your sins might be washed away. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. You can't be halfway in and halfway out. Either you're in or you're out. Amen. I remember getting called out. I used to play baseball. I remember getting called out because I ran out of the baseline. You run out of the baseline and you're out. You're out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't be halfway in and halfway out. Right. It's either a ball or it's a strike. Right. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the church or you're out of the church. You're either saved by the blood, amen, or you're not saved by the blood. You're either delivered or you're still bound. Amen. There's no halfway house in the kingdom of God. There's no 12 steps of deliverance, but the only one that can deliver you is one called Jesus. Amen. He has the power to set you free. He has the power to forgive you of your sins. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a whole, there's just a few of those halfway covenant churches back in that day. Now we have a whole host of halfway houses, amen, that call themselves churches. Amen. They got part of the truth, but they don't have the truth. Amen. They know something about God, but they don't know God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I thank God that we can be the people of His name. A people that's called out. A people that's chosen. A people, amen, that's empowered by the Spirit. He said in the last days that men would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. If you don't have the power of God working Hallelujah. You got to have the power of God working in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul testified before King Agrippa in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. If you want to go there, let's go there for just a minute. Amen. And let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible says in Acts the 26th chapter and the 27th verse. Paul asked a question. And he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And know that thou believest. Hallelujah. I believe there are people in Athens, Texas, if you had asked them, do you believe the Bible? That they would say, yes, I believe the Bible. Do you believe the promises of God? And they'd say, yes, we believe the promises of God. Oh, Paul said to King Agrippa, I know that thou believest the prophets. I know that you believe what the Bible says. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, some of the saddest words in the Bible. I guess King Agrippa started that halfway coming to church. Paul, almost. He was almost saved. Amen. I think about Judas. Amen. The Bible said Jesus was the door that led into the sheepfold. Judas went up and kissed the door of heaven and was lost. You can't get any closer, amen, than kissing the door. He was almost. Jesus told one man, he said, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I never have been to Arizona, but I've been close. I've been almost in Arizona. Close enough that I could almost throw a rock and hit it. But I've never been to Arizona.
Where you weren't,
right? I was almost in Arizona, but I never got there. There's a lot of people, amen, that almost made it in. Amen, they almost made it to the birthday. They almost made it to the finish line. They almost finished the race. They almost made it to the Super Bowl. They almost, amen, received the Holy Ghost. But almost, amen, is not going to allow you entrance into the kingdom of God. Judas kissed the door of heaven and died lost without God. The Bible said that it would have been better if the son of perdition had never been born. Oh, God. I believe there's somebody here tonight. Amen. That you're under conviction tonight. The power of God is all over you. You know, amen, that you are right at the door. That you're almost, hallelujah, you're almost ready. Amen. To enter in. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything keep you from coming down to an altar of repentance. Don't let anything keep you from experiencing the salvation of the Lord. Agrippa looked at Paul. Paul was very forceful in his speaking to him. And he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded, but he was lost. And in verse 28 or 29, Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight. Go ahead and start the music. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you don't have to be almost persuaded tonight. You don't have to be almost delivered. You don't have to be almost set free. You don't have to be almost in the kingdom. You can make your entrance into the kingdom of God. But the Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. If you really want Jesus, hallelujah, he stands. Amen. He stands as an open door. If you want to be saved, it's to you and it's to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. If you really want Jesus, hallelujah, you're not going to be almost. You're not going, amen, to get close, but you're going to press your way all the way into the kingdom of God tonight. You're going to leave this altar tonight with victory. You're going to leave this altar tonight with salvation. You're going to leave here with faith in your heart, because you are going to embrace the door of heaven tonight.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Like the would song to be sung, and would you stand tonight? Oh, not almost, but I wish that you were all together set free. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'm not turning back. Amen. I'm not going to quit now. I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. I'm ready to go to Rome. I'm ready to die for the name of Jesus if I have to. But I'm not turning back. You're not going to dissuade me. You're not going to scare me, amen, from embracing my prize. Hallelujah. That's why the Apostle Paul could write, amen, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. You can finish the course tonight. If you've repented of your sins, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, it's a promise. You shall receive. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let us believe. Let's praise the Lord together. Amen. Begin to sing it to the Lord.